Welcome, welcome back.
Wow, that's a great song.
Hey, you guys. Thank you for stopping in. No, it's not. Thank you for stopping in today. We are so, so happy to be with you guys. Oh my gosh, it's been a long time, and I'm super excited to get to talk to you guys, get to talk with my brothers and sister and husband.
Husband.
All those things. So today we're going to actually talk about relational discernment, discerning, you know, what kind of relationships are healthy, what kind of relationships are unhealthy, and really just how to navigate all of it. And it's not just about romantic relationships. It can be platonic relationships. It can be familial relationships. We're going to tackle it all and really just talk about our trials, our errors, our wins, our losses, and hopefully come away with it with just some better perspective. Mm-hmm. So, you guys, first of all, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us on the podcast.
You had no choice but to be here.
Thank you so much.
Wow, God bless. God bless. Okay, okay. So, what has been one of your biggest lessons in navigating relationships just throughout the course of your life? What can you think of as like one of the biggest areas of growth or things that you've learned in the area of relationships?
When you're talking about relationships, every person is so different. And relationships have to do with people. And all of us have unique upbringings and backgrounds and history and triggers and traumas. And we all have things that make up who we are. So I think one of the biggest lessons I've learned and I'm still learning is that people are all different. And yes, there are things that are similar. That's true. But just because you've met one person doesn't mean you've met them all.
Yeah.
And so every time I meet a new person or somebody comes into my life that I know God brought, it's developing this new curiosity for me to ponder, to pray, and to really ask God, like, what is this relationship, you know? And to get curious about that person. Because like I said, I think the biggest lesson is that everybody's different. So with them being different, like, You can't just assume that you know it all about people. That's a current lesson that I keep on reminding myself as
that's
I meet
so good.
People and steward relationships. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually really, really good to not try to think that just because you met one type of person, you met it all. Just, you know, because I think sometimes we can bring, you know, past traumas from something that even looks remotely close to something that we used to have, you know, that we had an issue with or that we had trauma with. I know sometimes, like, you know, even categorizing, it was so funny because right before we were shooting this, I was saying something about like a certain type of individual. And then like one of my friends was like, oh, wait, but this person. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then my sister was like, oh, yeah, but this person. And I was like, and then I even thought about like, oh, wait, I know somebody that is like that. And it's so easy to lump people into a category based off of whatever it could be, you know, what they look like, what they talk like, what they sound like, they dress like. And it's so important to really treat every individual that you meet with just a fresh drawing board. I feel like that is so hard to do when you've experienced like trauma and disappointment.
Yeah.
But like, it's so important because you don't want to bring the disappointment from the last thing into your next thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you would charge that person with something that they didn't even do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just opened up Pandora's box, because the way I see it is, and I say this to you all the time, but the way people will forget what you did, but they will never forget, or they'll forget what you did, they'll forget what you say, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. And so the more that I've learned about like navigating people with their differences and uniqueness and things like that, like, I've had to become more self-aware, but also more aware of the fact that like how I engage with this person matters. Because if I'm not mindful and aware, I could say something and it could be taken out of context or whatever. So it's not to say you need to be a person that tiptoes and like tries to always get things right with people. But I do think that thinking the highest thought and being mindful of how you navigate people is really, really important. And by praying and asking God, and again, like, you know, being curious about the people that are in your life and the people that are around you and being discerning. You know, you talked about relational discernment, like be discerning. But yeah, people will always remember how you made them feel. So I don't want to leave a relationship or a space or a conversation with a sour taste in somebody's mouth, because there were too many times where I've done that in the past. And more often than not, it had to do with me, not even with that person.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think for me, I think one of my biggest lessons that I was learning was that I need to bring all of myself, or not bring all of myself, but be all of myself. Because I think that growing up, I really had a people-pleasing problem, and I really wanted to appease everybody. So depending on who I was around, I could kind of morph into a little bit of what they wanted, a little bit of what they wanted, a little bit of what they wanted. And realizing over time that that didn't serve the relationship, that didn't serve the person, and that didn't serve me. Because at the end of the day, like, nobody needs a second version of themselves. They need you. So I think one of my biggest things was, like, I needed to learn to trust that if this person is really supposed to be in my life, then they can handle who I actually am. And, you know, and who I actually am may not want to do what you're doing all the time and may not want to, you know, thinks differently than you and can say, actually, I disagree. You know what I mean? Like, in a loving and respectful way. And that's, you know, what I bring into my relationship now with my husband is, like, I made sure from the jump, I was like, all of who I am. Like, I was wearing bonnets around him, like,
and I love
4 weeks, 5 weeks.
That
like, he saw bonnets. Like, he saw everything.
Hey, a month in, this is marriage.
Isaiah.
This is crazy.
This is marriage.
Okay, 6 to 8 weeks in,
I put that bonnet
this
on
man
my own
saw
head.
Me in a bonnet.
That's crazier.
Oh.
I would do it again.
Oh, baby. To make me, just to make us feel, just, you know, just comfortable. We're not going to show any pictures, but yes, he did wear a bonnet.
I got a picture. Now that I realize, yeah, hey, man, I definitely have a picture.
Maybe we'll give the Ghost Squad a picture of me in a bonnet, but there's got to be some kind of challenge.
Drop it in the comments.
That doesn't come free. That's what it costs.
It does have to cost.
It's not, it might be money, but it might not be money. You might have to, I don't know.
We should do one Ghost Squad embarrassing picture of the month and like a carousel on Instagram.
Wow.
We got to do it. Is that enough to do all months?
I mean, we've got.
I think so.
Hey, I'm getting a from Jalen back there. So I think he's going for the month of January.
No, Jalen, you're first.
A like in the chat if we need Jalen.
We
got to
look out for a photograph or a video or something of Jalen that shows him in his rare form.
We take recommendations.
We look at him off camera. But this is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Relational discernment. What have you guys learned?
One thing I was going to say, too, and I relate so much to the people-pleasing thing. I don't know if that's like a pastor's kid thing, but I'm just like, how did we both end up with that? Yeah. And I feel like even Taya struggled with that. One thing that that does in relationships is it creates almost this, it's a false relationship, because the person that you're in relationship with or friendship with sees a different version of you, a version of you that's not really you. It's only a version that you know is going to like get the best reaction or you think is going to connect the best with that person. And so I remember growing up through middle school and high school, like always putting on these different roles. And by the time I graduated high school, I didn't have no friends no more, because all these people were connected to somebody that never existed.
Wow. Mm.
So it's that's a scary place to be in. So I would say that authenticity is the best thing that you could have in relationships, because how are you gonna know like who's really for you, who's really about it, you know? And people are graced to literally be in your life and be able to handle all those things. So that was important. And now literally every last person in Gym One, like, y'all are like my friends for real. And y'all have seen pretty much all sides of me. And I felt safe. So I had no idea, you know, I was doing all this, putting in all this effort, trying to please everybody, but the real me has been able to, you know, please you guys.
Yeah.
So like that is, it almost shocked me to think that, oh wait, my authenticity is what was actually going to draw these people to me and really have a great relationship. So yeah, that's a big one. Authenticity.
Bro, you cannot have a healthy relationship in any regard if you're having to twist yourself and contort yourself and change yourself and make yourself into something that you're not.
Yeah.
Because if you're having to change yourself and twist yourself and contort yourself, that means that that person doesn't love who you are in that moment.
Exactly.
And if somebody's actually for me, they got to love me right where I'm at.
Exactly. Yep.
Like the way that God loves me, and I'm not saying that you need to give me the perfect love that only God can give, but what I am saying is you need to be able to accept me at my lowest and still see me at my highest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you can't, mm-hmm. and if you want to nitpick and try to change things about me, and this is the same, this goes vice versa. If we try to do that to other people, it's an immediate red flag. And I know we're going to have an episode about red flags, but it's an immediate red flag because if I have to change in order to be in relationship with you, my relationship with you is not real.
Talk that talk.
It's not real at all. It's false because there's a false version of me that I'm contorting myself into in order to get your acceptance and your love.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that, when you talk about discernment, that's right there. That's common sense. And somebody honestly needed to hear that because a lot of us, when it comes to people pleasing, we do it and we put on this performative nature to try to be something that we're not. And if you do that, it may take you so far, but eventually it catches up to you.
Yeah.
When it catches up to you, you're going to get to the place where like, I don't even recognize who I am.
That's the worst part. It's such an empty, like dark feeling. It's just like, who have I been?
Yeah.
I've been doing all this time. I've been so many different people that I've never like really aligned with the identity that God gave me.
Right.
That is the worst feeling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And it's exhausting.
It is.
Like to try to keep up with so many different opinions. And it's exhausting. And I think that, I had to get tired.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got really, really tired.
Yes.
Like genuinely physically tired. And I was like, there's only, at the end of the day, there's only one person and one version of me that can truly survive at the end of the day. And that's the real me.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is the only person that it will come out. Listen, the real you will come out when you're hungry, when you're tired, when you're angry. Like, it will come out. And they're like, oh, wait a second. Yeah. But to your point, though, like, I think people need that authenticity because, again, like, you bring something that they don't have because there's only one you.
Yep,
and so, like, you have to recognize and understand that what you're bringing to the table is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what you're bringing into every given moment, situation, relationship is valuable because there's only one you. There's not going to be anybody that can do it and that can say it like you. It doesn't matter how close somebody may look like you or, like, there's only one person.
Mm-hmm.
So just owning that value, I think, has been the biggest lesson. I want to hear from Nane.
Well, I was going to say, it's all reminding me of this quote I heard, and it was like, you're never too much for somebody. They're just the wrong person for you.
Yeah.
And so, like, if they can't handle your full, authentic self, then, like, maybe you don't need to be friends with them. Absolutely. Maybe you don't need to date them. Because I remember when I was in my singleness, that was something I heard, and I was like, whoa, like, I'd always just thought, like, maybe I'm too obnoxious, or maybe if I joke a certain way, like, I don't know. You know how you make a joke sometimes, and then the other person, they're like,
It doesn't land.
And then it's just like, okay, well, like, you don't understand, or like, you do something and like, you try to like show like your funny side, your goofy side, and it just doesn't match. I'm like, okay, well then maybe you're just not the right person to hang around.
Mm-hmm.
And like, just being okay with that. Like, I don't have to be friends with every single person I meet.
That's right.
I can be cordial. Like, I can love you because, you know, the Lord loves you and like, God bless, but like, I don't have to be best friends with you.
Exactly.
I don't have to be best friends with every single person that I meet. And I used to think that I had to.
Yeah.
And I'm like, not everyone can handle me. Mm-hmm. And that's not like a bad thing. I'm not like a ton, but it's just there's certain people that are supposed to be my friends and certain people I just don't click with.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine.
Right.
It's
absolutely.
Nothing personal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think that's one of the biggest things for me. But also kind of going back to the question of, I think I focused on how do I feel when I leave? And like, there's been a lot of friends I have that like, oh, I don't know if I should...
Hey, we're going there.
You don't have to.
I'll back you up later.
Whatever you need to do.
You know how you have some friends and you've just been friends with them for so long and you don't know why? It's kind of like, if I leave and I feel drained, maybe I shouldn't be friends with them anymore.
Right.
Or if I get like that text and it's like, hey, let's hang out. And I'm like,
immediately you get a check in your spirit.
Yeah.
Or your gut drops.
You don't have to.
And it doesn't even have to be a check sometimes in the spirit. Sometimes it's just like...
Naturally.
It's common sense.
We don't really like... Because that's the thing. A lot of things are circumstantial.
Yeah.
We went to the same school.
Proximity.
You know what I mean? Proximity. We went to the same school. We were hanging around the same club. We went to the same church. All this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then you wake up one day and you realize like, actually, the authentic version of me is kind of rubbing against you a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, you'll start to get a little bit more, like I was saying, tired, or maybe a little, maybe a little irritated.
Yeah.
And sometimes the best thing that you can do is to give yourself some distance if you're starting to feel that irritation. Because it's like, I'd rather love you in a proximity that is comfortable for me and you rather than be close to you and I'm actually causing you a disservice because I'm getting irritated, because irritation will show up.
Yeah.
Like 1,000, you can't cover that. You know what I mean? So,
like, I've never, like, my great friends I have now, I've never, like, left and gone home and then gone, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. And I'm a homebody. Like, I love being at home. Yeah. But, like, all of my good friends, I've never, like, wanted to leave. Like, I've never wanted to go back home. Or I've always come home and had peace. Yeah. Like, I've always just had peace. Like, that was a good time. Like, exactly. I needed that. Like, I feel full. And so just focusing on, like, that feeling. How do you feel after you leave, like, from hanging out?
Man, it took, honestly, like, me experiencing toxic and not healthy relationships to know the difference between that and a healthy relationship. Because, like you said, I think the way you feel after you leave a person, or you get out of that person's presence, or you're not texting that person anymore, is a huge sign to you that, like, oh, this person might not be for me. And if this person's not for me, then I need to move accordingly. Yeah. But there's somebody right now that's like, man, like, I didn't even know that, you know, there was such a thing as a healthy relationship. Like, literally, like, there's somebody in that right now where they're like, you have peace when you leave that person? What does that even mean? Like, some people have been robbed of peace because simply of the wrong relationships. Because I've been so focused on pleasing people and not trying to lose that person. But at what cost? Like, what are you cost? Like, what is the cost for yourself? Like, what are you forfeiting when it comes to your time and your effort and your energy and all of who you are? You're forfeiting it for somebody who doesn't even value it. Somebody who doesn't even value you, and you're giving up yourself and your time and what matters to someone who doesn't value it. Doesn't mean you don't love them, but it's like, yo, I can't be around you. Like, you don't fit in my world anymore. And it's okay to say that. Like, it's okay to say you don't fit in my world anymore. You're not in this where I'm going, you're not. Right. And God will make that clear. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I almost want to, like, paint a picture, or, like, even just get into, like, what if healthy, and you kind of touched on it already, but, like, what do healthy relationships, like, leave you feeling like? Because I think it is important to the person that, you know, doesn't really understand, like, what is the difference? Because I had a question on here, you know, talking about, like, what is a, you know, relationship that kind of, like, looks good versus, like, what is actually, like, a good God-ordained relationship feel like? And I think that there's an alignment that comes when it's a God-ordained relationship. And what I mean by alignment is, like, if that person hears from God, you and you hear from God, when you come together, I'm not saying you have to agree on every single detail, but I feel like there should be some sort of, like, synergy between, like, what God is speaking to them and doing in their life and, like, what God is doing in your life. Like, for example, like, I have this person that I'm just starting to become friends with. And we got on the phone the other day. And although this person is farther advanced in, you know, her life or her career and just things that she's doing, and, like, I'm, you know, I'm kind of, like following that path a little bit, like, to eventually probably get to where she is. But when we got on the phone, like, what God was telling her, she was telling me, and, like, our babies were leap. Like, people use, that's a very biblical spiritual term, but when they say, like, my baby leaps when I'm around you, it means, like something that God planted inside of me, like a dream, a sense of purpose, a calling, like, something just deep inside of you, like, just bursts when you're around them, because it's like you're tapped into the same stream, like, you're tapped into the same well. And when you get around them, there's just this, like, there's this spiritual, emotional, mental synergy, because it should make you feel more alive. It shouldn't leave you feeling more, like, dead and depleted and empty. Like, it should make you come alive. That's what I would define, but I'd be curious to hear from you guys. Like, what is that, what does that feel like, what does that look like?
I would have said that answer as well. I think it's also feeling safe. I would be hanging with certain people and afterwards would just feel like just not safe. I wish I could verbalize like the way that it felt. But just mm-hmm. not like I was taken care of. Or like I wasn't safe being who I was. So it felt like it was exhausting. It felt like I had to, I don't know, just kind of like carry myself in a way that like I wouldn't had I not been around that person. So I felt like I wasn't safe to be me. Sometimes I felt like not physically safe. It's not supposed to feel like that.
Yeah.
It's supposed to feel the opposite. It's supposed to feel like safety, like love. And I think that can be sometimes hard for people to understand what love feels like, because I think that, you know, depending on the person, people grow up with like a transactional kind of love.
Right,
I'm not talking
right.
about that. I'm not talking about doing something and somebody like thanks you afterwards. I'm talking about right. like you just being you and somebody appreciating that and there being like this mutual respect and honor for each other. It should feel like that. I think those are the ones that I would say that it should feel like.
Yeah, that's so important. That safety thing is huge.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, it's huge. Yeah, because it's like you can't even, if you don't tap, like if you're not able to feel safe, you won't bring your authentic self to the table. So that's like a foundational thing. You said physically safe. I was like, who made you feel not physically safe?
Yeah, you gotta be careful what you tell big sis. You know, she gonna snap into mama
can
bear
I
mode.
Speak to them?
Come swing
okay,
in the goal. Take the safe right out of rib. Right out of rib. Rib will start swinging.
You know.
I'm playing. I'm playing.
When it comes to how do I feel after I know that somebody is for me or a relationship that's important, because yes, peace, yes, safety, but also you touched on it, it's inspired. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm inspired after I leave a person and I feel like I want to run after purpose, I want to run after, you know, what's next, even if it's you inspired me to want to go and rest. And actually take advantage of rest. If I'm inspired and you gave life to me, like I want to be around people that give me life. I don't want to be around people that drain me, that take my energy, that make me feel less than. I want to be around people that build me up and that I don't have to do so much pouring into that I'm leaving that situation empty. I want to be able to say, oh, no, we had some moments where I poured into you. Oh, you poured into me a little bit and I poured into you. And it doesn't always have to be spiritually.
Right.
It doesn't always have to be spiritually. Like I've had some people who are not even faith, not even Christians, but have wisdom about finances or have wisdom about business or wisdom about things that I just don't really have. And they're able to pour into me. And I'm like, no, that's God using that person's wisdom because I have an understanding of what God can do spiritually. God is giving me wisdom through this person.
Yeah.
And sometimes maybe that's a thing too, when it comes to relationally. Sometimes, and this is for the Christians, like we can write people off that God might be trying to use.
Come on.
God might be trying to yoke you up to Pharaoh who doesn't believe, but because you're yoked to Pharaoh, you have influence.
Yep.
Right.
And I'm not saying to go and just put yourself in situations and places and spaces where you don't have any business being, but that's why when it comes to relationships, I do really think, like if we're going to just be straight up, like I think you have to involve God in every relationship. Point blank period. Mm-hmm. And let his Richter scale, let whatever he says is, and I'm sorry if I'm getting I'm just trying to have like a little bit of a scale. Like let God like balance out the scales and make it clear to you who is for you and who's not for you.
Yep.
Because that's so crucial. Mm-hmm. But that's what I think about when I really ponder on like what should I feel after leaving a person.
I want to touch on something as well, because I know we talked about like not conforming yourself to other people. And at the same time, for the Christian folks, if you've got friends around you that aren't Christian yet, you don't got to force them to be Christian just because you're having your own like spiritual journey. People are going to have their own timing and their own walk with God. And so that's another thing. And that could be considered like spiritual abuse. You know, hey, I'm coming up and y'all need to, otherwise I'm going to cut you off. You're not reading your word. There's nothing wrong with, you know, encouraging somebody. But if it becomes like a, I don't know, like, yeah. I'm better because I'm walking with God, and you yeah. can't do that. That's not right. I'm not saying you can't cut people off, but I'm saying that you cannot try to, like, pull these people along with you. They're going to yeah. have to go through their own thing. Yeah. And I think the best thing that you can do if you want those people is just be an example. Be an example of love and light, and then they'll be curious to see, oh, what is that? Oh, it's God. Yeah. But don't try to, because you're doing the same exact thing. You're trying to change them and where they are, and it might not be their time yet. People have their own process to go through. So, yeah, be careful with that. You know, I'm saying yeah. be a great example. I'm not saying don't share your faith. I am totally with that. Absolutely, I'm saying yeah. don't be abusive with it. It can be right. overbearing for people.
That's not yeah. going to draw anybody in.
Absolutely not, because you're not reflecting Jesus. Yeah. Like, he wasn't overbearing, and no, not at all.
He was yeah. meek and lowly.
Straight up.
He's the King of Kings, and he mm-hmm. was meek and lowly, and the way he navigated was so attractive and so powerful that his reputation spoke.
Right. Yes. Like, he didn't even Jesus's go out there and was like, hey, I'm Jesus. Yeah. Everybody come to me. Everybody get healed. Everybody, like, they went to him.
Yes.
No. Yeah. It was because his name spread throughout. It was actually so much so that in the beginning, like, y'all can go, we can all open up our Bibles. Jesus was literally saying, like, don't tell anybody this. But people were so mind blown by what he did, by how he moved, by the power that met them, by the breakthrough, the freedom, that they had no choice. They're like, I can't hold this, and I have to tell somebody.
Yeah.
And then, boom, what happened? The whole city gets healed. So what can happen if you just authentically embrace who God is calling you to be, creating you to be, and don't go around trying to convert people, trying to make people do this, trying to make people do that, but just be it.
Just
because
be
if
it,
you
bro.
Are truly it, everyone in your life will actually change because of it.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm not going to go on a whole tangent, but I've seen my siblings.
Come on.
Right. And they will watch this podcast and they will testify. They will say, my brother never forced his faith on me at all. We all grew up Christian, but I'm talking about really walking with God, like really, really, really walking with Jesus. And all of them now, like,
yes.
yeah.
they attend
yes.
Nate's Bible study. Like, and I'm not just saying, like, you have to be Bible study, but like, they're really about it.
Yes, bro.
Yeah.
And they, like, my sister brought me to tears by telling, she told me, and then I'm going to move on because I know Naomi's got something. Naomi. Oh,
something
the word.
Oh, oh,
the word
is
written.
Right.
I need my Bible.
Where's Naomi's
I'll
Bible?
Get the Bible.
Can you fly in Naomi's Bible?
Can someone get the Bible?
There's actually a verse.
Can
I was
we
thinking.
Fly in Naomi's Bible?
Where's the Bible?
If somebody sees it. Jalen's going to make a cameo as I explain this thing that I was saying about what my sister said to me that almost brought me to tears.
Thank you. God bless. Oh, wow.
There's no way.
But let me just testify real quick, because this is something that literally, like, I could cry talking about it. But my sister, we were at Woman Evolve Conference, and we were in the hotel room afterwards, and my sister was just chilling with us, and it was a quiet moment, and she just stopped. I don't know. It was quiet. We were chilling. We were tired. The day was over, and she just stopped, and she looked at me. She's like, hey, I just want you to know that, like, it was because of the way you lived your life. It was because of the way that you showed me by example that I'm here.
My God. Mm-hmm.
It's proof.
And like, I did not, this is my sister who I've prayed for, who I love, who I've seen go through so many things and be challenged and struggle and fight and go through things that we both went through as kids. And I didn't have to preach at her. I didn't have to get a megaphone and scream in her face and say, repent or you're going to hell. Like, I just was the real deal. And I pray that I can continue to be the real deal. That's why I stay at his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say it's so important that you submit every relationship to God, because everything submitted to God can produce results like that. So mm-hmm. I wanted to testify for a moment. Mm-hmm. It's a testimony.
That's proof.
So
I had a similar moment with one of my friends the other day.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I mean, like, had a radical encounter with
wow.
Jesus. And neither of us at the time that we were growing up were like really trying to walk with God like that. I started going in my faith. He had his time, but now his time has come. And now he's walking with God.
Jesus.
Like, there's the proof right there.
Yeah.
Let's seal that with scripture.
Hey, yes.
Let's go
the
in.
Word of God.
Pastor Naomi, ladies and gentlemen.
The way that she opened it with such a quickness. Did anybody else see that? Like, okay, all right.
Let's see. Okay, so if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. And then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed of what they see.
Mm.
Or they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness.
So like literally just what we were talking about, like doing it in a gentle and respectful way. You don't need to scream. You don't need to like throw it in their face. Like you just living a life because you belong to the Lord. Like, that's just already, like, you carry yourself differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that already is attractive. Like, people look at that and they're like, what's different about you? Mm-hmm. Like, why do you always have, like, peace when, like, you're not supposed to be having peace? Like, your life is crazy. But mm-hmm. why are you so calm? Like, why are you so thankful? Like, even little things, like, why do you pray so often? Mm-hmm. Like, just living in that way. And then being ready when someone's like, hey, Ty, like, how do you always have peace? Mm-hmm. Always being ready to explain it in a gentle and respectful way. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be like, mm-hmm. how do I always have peace? How do you not have peace? You know? Mm-hmm. And so just to seal that in what we talked about, like in scripture, like that's the way that we're supposed to go about just relationships in general.
That is so, mm-hmm. so strong.
You said something that really sparked my thought, and it was about being gentle. And there's a prompt, a call, an urge that we have from the Lord, which is to be wise as serpents and mm-hmm. gentle as doves.
Mm-hmm.
And so with wisdom, discernment, in relationships, when you learn how to love people right where they're at and be a person of wisdom, but also of gentleness, that is how we navigate. Like that's the way we move. That's the way we should navigate situations and people and purpose, and all of it is praying and saying, God, I ask for wisdom, but also help me to be gentle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And gentleness in this way, like Jesus wasn't a pushover.
Gentleness
is not saying you're a pushover, but it's standing on what you believe. It's being a man or woman of your word, and it's just being ready and willing to share things in love. Love doesn't mm-hmm. worry about its own. It's not trying to like get its own way. Love is just, because love is God. So God is truth, God is love, and he wants to express himself through us. And he can do so when you are wise as serpents and you're mm-hmm. gentle as doves. Like,
yeah.
Otherwise, you've got all that other stuff that gets in the way. And it's like,
yeah, the religious dogma.
And then now you're the problem in the relationship. You're cutting off mm-hmm. what could be a relationship with somebody.
Yes.
Relational discernment goes both ways.
Yeah.
Are you discerning yourself? Mm.
Mm-hmm. Are you
allowing God to look at you and say, God, reveal to me any wicked way within me?
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. search my heart, know my ways, reveal to me any wicked way within me. Mm-hmm. Are you posturing yourself before the Lord and saying, God, like, what is wrong with me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Show me me.
Yes.
Put a mirror in front of me and let me know the things that I need to work on so that when I navigate this relationship or this situationship or whatever the case may be, situationship's funny. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean that. Y'all know what I mean.
That was crazy.
But whenever you navigate
a thing. Yeah.
You can navigate it with God's perspective.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That is, I think some of the best advice I think that we could give in this podcast is the only way that you can truly have relational discernment is if you're able to discern yourself. Because that's where every relationship stems from. It's God, self, and then everybody else. But if you don't know yourself and you don't recognize your triggers, your traumas, your things that you bring to the relationship, then you can't really have a relationship because
mm-hmm.
everything is rooted. Everything starts with you in your own heart. And so the fruit of your relationships will be what's going on in your own heart. How healthy is my own heart right now? Because that's what I'm going to be bringing into the relationship. And that doesn't mean that you have to cut everybody off until you're like perfect and whole. I wouldn't be married right now if I waited until I was perfect before I got married. I wouldn't have friends if I waited until I was perfect to have friends. But it does mean that I made sure that I had a pretty keen awareness of where I was at and who I was and what I was going to be able to bring to the table. That way we could work together mm-hmm. because, you know, if I don't know what's going on with me, I won't be able to communicate that to him, or I wouldn't be able to communicate that to you, so that we can actually have a healthy relationship that's reciprocated. So mm-hmm. that's that discerning yourself part. What you got?
I love what you said, and it makes me think about this question. If you're praying for healthy relationships or healthy friendships, I think you should maybe first ask yourself, am I a healthy friend?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not a healthy friend, how do you even know what a healthy friendship is?
Mm-hmm.
And so it does come back to self-reflection. You want a healthy friendship. You want a healthy relationship. You want that, but you're not a healthy you. And it's okay to admit you're not a healthy you, but you have to at least admit it, because you can't expect to get what you're not giving. If you're not giving health, you ain't gonna get health. You reap what you sow. You know what I mean? So that's the question. And I think if we reflect on it, that's where the work can really begin, is if we reflect on who am I, what am I bringing to the table, and am I going to reap what I'm sowing, and am I sowing what would return to me a good relationship or good people?
Right.
Am I trustworthy? Do I have integrity? You know, all those things really matter when it comes to like having good relationships. And sometimes you got to get around people that do have those traits so that you can see it. Mm-hmm. And as you're healing, you can become it so that you can attract it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I want to land here because I like this, how this is patterned and it's going back towards you. What would you say to the person that just heard what you just said and was just like, okay, maybe I'm not that healthy. You know, now what do I need to do to make sure that I am healthy enough to be a good friend, be a good sister, be a good, you know, wife, be a good whatever. You know, I'm in this situation. I know that there are some broken parts of me. What do I need to do to be a better version of myself?
I'd say choose humility always. Like, always make sure that you choose humility, because there's been so many times, even in my life, where I was like, I'm not the issue. It's all you. And it's like, let's like take a step back. Like, always make sure that you are the first to apologize. Like, you're the first to look at yourself. Like, okay, what could I do to make this situation better? Like, it's always just comes back on you. Because when it comes down to it, and it's in a relationship, you can't control the other person. You can't control how they feel, but you can control how you act, how you respond to the things they say. So like, always humble yourself first, look at yourself first. But then, I don't know. I think that's it.
That's a really girl, because let me tell you something. In marriage, humility.
Oh my goodness. Oh my,
being the first person to apologize.
Oh my goodness.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, no, but
We will try to out-apologize one another.
Yeah. Yeah.
We do.
Jesus, let me tell you something. There's nothing that will get you more like Jesus than being the first to say you're sorry and sucking up that pride. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need to be right. I don't need to be justified. I want to have peace.
Blessed are the
peacemakers. I want to have a resolve here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I want love to come back into this moment. You know what I mean? Like,
my mama always says, the first to the cross wins. Mm. And I'm so competitive.
Oh, which means
I'm
the
so
first to die wins.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And to I'm so competitive. So I'm like, I want to apologize first. Like, I want to make sure that I am correcting myself first, because I don't want to even like make you feel like there's a check in your spirit because you're just hanging around me, because it's something I did. Mm-hmm. And so I want to make sure that I'm always like humbling myself. And like we talked about on an earlier podcast, humbling myself before God has to humble me.
Yeah.
Before he has to check me and say, Nay, actually, you're toxic. These are the issues that we need to fix. Like, let's, you're on like 400. I think Jalen said that. You're on 400. Let's knock you down to like 4. 1. Like, let's one. Bet 1. You got 2 like ahead of yourself. Like, like humble. Like, did you say gentle and lowly earlier?
I did.
Yes. But that's like, isn't that like the only thing that Jesus used to describe himself was gentle and lowly? Mm. Like the character, I don't know. Like,
I mean, they were some of the characters that he would use to describe himself. Yeah. It was gentle and lowly or
other
meek.
Than like, of course.
Like,
But that was like the.
You read about in Revelation 1 with the fire in his eyes and the blazing head.
Glory, that image.
Sword out of his mouth.
All of that. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, that's just powerful. Going back to being gentle and lowly. And it's not, and being gentle and lowly doesn't mean that you have no spine or that you are you're like, oh no. Like, I'm trying to find the word, but it doesn't mean that like you don't have any substance
right,
when you're
right,
gentle
right.
and lowly. Because Jesus was, and he's the most impactful person to ever walk on this earth and that will ever.
Because you know what it is? So. Because he knew when a situation, I'm trying to say this the right way, but the difference between like walking in humility and lowness and then kind of being a pushover is you can discern what situation is not worth my time.
Yeah.
Like, I can give my energy to this situation and be humble and be lowly because there is a reciprocation going on in the situation. Mm-hmm. If there is no reciprocation going on in the situation, then you're giving and giving and giving and giving and you're not getting anything back.
Right.
So at the end of the day, for your sake and the other person's sake, you're like, this ends here. This is a cycle. This is not, mm-hmm. it's not going in a situation. So I'm not going to extend because there's no benefit out of that for either of us.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to extend my energy here. I could extend my energy here with my, you know, but yeah. So mm-hmm. it's just important to know, like, when is it even worth it? When is it even going to produce fruit? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But was there any other ideas that you guys have just about, like, getting to a space of wholeness and getting to a healthy space? I love that humility part. I love that.
I just gotta agree with Nay.
Yeah.
I think that's just key.
Yeah.
And I also love that you also said, but it's not, you know, it's not passiveness. It's not always taking the blame. But it's seeing yourself first. Yeah. I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's really a great place to land it, like you said, because if you want a healthy relationship, because we're talking about relational discernment, like you have to be healthy. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that, like, you're expected to be healthy and whole right now, right away, but do the work. Like, it's hard. It's not easy. I am still doing the work and still going to continue. Like, another layer for me was I got into therapy. Mm-hmm. Like, I got into therapy and it's helping me better understand me, mm-hmm. so that when things happen that trigger me, I now understand them a bit more and am able to communicate and not get frustrated and write people off or get upset with people for something that really has more to do with me than it does with them. Mm-hmm. So I think you are responsible for yourself and for the work that you do with God and yourself. And as you do that, the healthier you become, the healthier the relationships around you will become. Mm-hmm. And I think it's being willing to, it's humbling yourself. It's I think it's really like, it's almost like repentance too. You know what I mean? Like, like when you pray the Lord's Prayer, you know, I don't know about everybody, but I know I pray it daily. You know, my Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. You know, give me this day my daily bread. Forgive me of my sins as I forgive those who have sinned against me. So every day I'm praying this prayer because I know that this is putting me in the posture of repentance. It's putting me in the posture of saying, God, I know I'm not perfect. I know I don't have it all together, but I know that you do. And so I need you to help me in this day. And when you live from that place, I think everything connected to you, including relationships, will become better. Because you're trusting God. And I don't really think that there's a better piece of advice or perspective or anything we could even give about relationships than honestly the way you landed it. Mm-hmm. I really think that's it.
Yeah.
I've got one more tip too, just practically. If you are in a relationship and you're trying to figure out, is this from God? Should I be in this relationship? Fast it. Put that thing on the line. Do not talk to the person. Because essentially, for people that don't know what fasting is, it's just cutting off the flesh. Anything that the flesh usually finds pleasure in, cut it off. If your flesh is like doing backflips when you're fasting this person, it probably means that a big part of that relationship was really flesh-driven. Mm. If you feel at peace, if you feel fine, obviously go to God. I'm not saying these are like the ultimatum things that if you feel you should either be in the relationship or not. But see how you feel when you're not speaking to that person. If your flesh is like, oh my God, I need it. Yeah. You'll probably be like, oh, okay, this might not be the one. Mm-hmm. I think. but yeah, fast it. It can be however long you want to, but give yourself some distance so you can finally have a clear mind about if I'm supposed to be in the relationship. It's hard to see it when you're in it. When you take yourself out of it, you have a clear mind. So yeah. I would do that.
That's really good.
That's really good. I'm so glad that you said that, because that has been a determining factor. Like, I can remember a couple times I was just telling you, like, in our relationship where I was just like, I needed a moment to process because it was so much intense love and intense feelings. I was like, I want to take a week and maybe we don't get on the phone for 2 hours every day. Maybe we just text. And God would come in and just reveal to me more and more that, like, this was my husband. Mm-hmm. But I think keeping that distance, and also another telltale sign is if you are not willing to give up the relationship. Mm. If you're already not willing to give up the relationship, you know that it's got you in a chokehold. Like, but if you're actually able. Now, if you're already married to the person, now we're not talking about if you're actually married to the person or, you know, like, right, commitments, no. But like when you're at a space where you can decipher, like lay it at the feet of Jesus, lay it at the altar, and see if the Lord tells you to pick it back up. And he'll give you grace for it if it's, if it is so. But this has been such a fruitful, delicious conversation.
Delicious conversation.
Delicious.
My wife's just, new favorite word is delicious. You called our dog delicious the other day.
And I thought he was delicious.
That's out of control.
He is delicious.
Because I was like, does that just mean like Theo? He's cute?
Theo is adorable.
Theo is put a picture of Theo on the screen.
What are you talking about?
Jalen, can we please add a picture of Theo in his cowboy hat on the screen?
Why don't we let the Ghost Squad decide? Thank you. All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, who would like to pray us out of this delicious conversation?
Sorry, I just got scared. I heard delicious again.
Babe, would you pray us?
I would. In this moment? I would pray us out of this. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together. God, I thank you for my brother and my sister on the other side of the screen who is navigating relationships, whether it's friendships or romantic relationships or familial or even professional relationships. And Lord, I just ask you in this moment that we could submit them to you and submit ourselves to you, that we could lay everything concerning us and these relationships at your feet. Because God, we don't want to pick them back up until we know that we know you are in it and we're surrendered to you, because we trust that your will is perfect. And although it might be painful, Lord, we just pray that in this moment you would even highlight people and situations that might not be serving us anymore. And also, Lord, if there are relationships where we need to make amends and we need to reach out and apologize, or we need to reach out and just be a blessing to that person, Lord, put those people in our spirit right now. Just bring them top of mind. And I also ask you, Lord, that as we navigate this, that we would grow in our discernment, that we would be wise as serpents and gentle as doves, that we wouldn't walk around just randomly, but that we would be intentional with everything, not the least of which is our relationships. So Father, I thank you now that things are happening, and I pray that every single demonic and wicked thing, Lord, that has been tormenting people in the area of relationships would break. Yes, and I pray, Lord, that you would bring wholeness. I pray, Lord, that you would bring peace. And I pray, Lord, right now that any fear or worry that they might feel concerning relationships, that we would just take this moment to say, we rebuke fear right now, and we receive power, we receive love, and we receive a sound mind. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Well, thank you guys for joining us today. If you'd like to watch more of our videos, please check out our new, well, it's not a new YouTube channel. Please check out the Generation One YouTube channel. So you're watching us here on the One LA's YouTube channel, but we're going to start posting on our Generation One YouTube channel. So please go check that out. Check out our Discord, where we have more engagement talking to you guys, and you guys talk to each other, to be honest. Like, there's so many more of this happening in that space. But all of the links are in the description below. Check them out, and we'll see you next time, guys. Have a good week.
Peace.
Peace, y'all.